It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Good morning, good morning. Keith McPherson on The Fan for another 2 hours. A Friday night, KM to 2 a.m. We're talking sports on The Fan, and what a week it was. This week was nuts. I mean, obviously all the NFL free agency, the week starting off with Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. You're dead to me. You're dead to us. Good luck, Rasul. And then you get the news of Gerrit Cole and Judge being hurt, and it's like, oh, come on. There goes the season. Are you kidding me? Juan Soto's here, and you mean to tell me the two highest paid players, the two guys with hardware in the last couple years as Yankees, they're both compromised? Yeah, they're spring beat up. And, oh, yeah, well, Cole's got the MRI, but we can't tell you anything. And, well, fast forward later in the week, Judge is probably shut down for the rest of spring training. No use in putting him in harm's way. And we got better news on Cole as far as, like, it's not the worst case scenario with the Tommy John, but it's also not a good scenario. It's still very much up in the air. Let's talk to the Yankee fans that have been holding. Matt is in Massapequa on The Fan. Massapequa Park? Massapequa Park, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, got it. It was all mashed up as one. There was no space there.
What up, KM? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for holding.
Good, good, good. Yeah, so, all right. So, awesome message before about kids taking advantage of their youth. Now, Yankees, sign Juan Soto tomorrow to a long-term deal, because here's why, all right? Every educated Yankee fan thinks, Judge and Cole, let's maximize their prime, let's get these guys, let's make a real World Series run. Well, if this spring training, with Judge having this shutdown for the spring training injury and Cole having this Masahiro Tanaka-esque, let's not get Tommy John, but let's try and avoid that and shut him down for further, till further notice. Let's sign Juan Soto, because if we can't rely on these two guys that are on the other side of 30, we need to maximize Juan Soto, the young buck, the young stud.
Yeah.
And we need to surround
if it was only that
Spencer
simple,
Jones,
man. If Scott Boras wasn't his agent, there would be a chance that the Yankees could try to just offer him before opening day a huge extension, and he takes it.
I know it's going to be difficult, but if they could just throw money at him,
they're not
looking at Volpe, Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, Austin Wells. That's your core five moving forward. I think. You know, if that's the plan B. Plan A, you know, is Cole's healthy for the next 3 years. Judge is healthy for the next 3 years. Let's do it. But you know, if they can get Soto locked up and have these guys come into their positions, then you're looking at, you know, the late 90s Yankees with that core four, core five. I think that gives them the best shot. You know.
Thanks for the call, Matt, but I completely disagree, and thanks for holding all that time till we got to you, but Juan Soto's for the streets. It's for everybody to bid on. He's going to free agency. I've been watching his whole career. He got all the way here to Yankee Stadium. He's not even in Yankee Stadium yet. He got all the way to the Yankee pinstripes, and he's still going to hit free agency. This is a guy that turned down $440 million. From the team that birthed him, the team that he beat the Houston Astros in the World Series with. There is no extending him. There is no locking him up. I hope he has the best walk year we've ever seen. Better than Aaron Judge. Hit 63 homers. But I know in my heart, and you know in your heart, if you've been following baseball and you've been following Juan Soto, and you know very well who baseball's Bond villain is in Scott Boras, there is a 0% chance that the Yankees can just lock up Juan Soto. Right now, at least. Like, there's a 0% chance before he even gets to New York. Where's he going to live in New York? Let's see how this season goes in New York. He's not signing the rest of his career here. He wants to be the highest paid, so that's not happening. And there is no new core four. There is no Yankee 90s Yankees. Like those 90s Yankees, like I started playing Little League in 96, 97, 98. And that's when I started watching the Yankees, and that's when I started collecting trading cards, or at least being old enough to like take some of my brother's cards and play the video game and watch them on TV. And I didn't really know exactly what was going on, but I knew they were dominant. I knew they were good. And those guys were homegrown. And I know we have some homegrown guys, but there is no way we can project those guys to be as good as the guys that we had. They were a dynasty, Hall of Famers. They're in Monument Park. Their numbers are retired. Like, there's just no way. There's no way we can say Volpe, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, and Austin Wells. Those guys could be closer to Greg Bird, Miguel Andujar, Clint Frazier, Gary Sanchez. I think it was Ed I was talking to. I wanted to interrupt Ed when he was talking about the Yankees firing Joe Girardi, who will be back on the Yes Network broadcast. I'm like, yeah, they fired Joe Girardi. And I think part of that decision was because they had a ton of stock in Gary Sanchez. How'd that work out? How'd that go? Right? He was a former catcher who was too hard on our young phenom catcher. Well, let's go to Peter in Manhattan next up on the Fan. What's up, Peter?
How you doing, Keith? Great show. Keith, a few things. I'm going to talk about the old Yankees and new Yankees. Last night I was trying to call you, and I heard Chris's show. So the fans were talking about George Steinbrenner signing a free agent.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, if you go back in the 70s, five of the starters were actually through trades. Now you fast forward to the 90s, I mean, these were either homegrown players or, you know, through trade. You know, you got Brocious through trade. You got, Martinez through trade. And then you got a ton of other people like, Cecil Field or whatever. And then in the 70s, Mickey Rivers you have Nettles, you had Chambers, Pinella. So the fact that Steinbrenner signed free agents is overstated. It's not a fact. It's just, a misnomer. So, you know, the Yankees developed championships through homegrown players and through trades in the 70s and 90s. Now, fast forward this year, the Yankees, to me, I mean, I don't think the fact that Cole is out for 2 months is a big issue, because when I look at the Yankees, I'm looking at October baseball. Now, in my opinion, I think you could agree, I think the Yankees are weak on pitching. I don't think they have championship pedigree for championship team. So what do you think? My question to you is, do you agree with that? And the second question is, what do you think they need to get to that level? I mean, does Montgomery doing? Do they need Snell? Do they need two pitchers? So the question to me is, what do they need to get, in your opinion, to that championship level? And before I let you go, how's Jackson doing? And he's going to be one pretty soon. So, Keith, thanks for taking the call. Great show. And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, speakerphone. It was all right. Good call. But as Paulie was trying to instruct you guys before on, like, calling the fan etiquette, the speakerphone is just like, we can hear you better if you know, I understand being on speakerphone when you're on hold so that you can kind of walk around and do your thing. And then when you hear your name, it's like, oh, it's my turn. But thanks for the call, Peter. First off, Jackson is great. He is coming down to spring training with me. He's 11 months, but he looks like he's 15 months. He's heavy. He eats well. He's big. He's cute. Every time we see someone, they're like, hey, handsome. Oh, he's so adorable. I'm like, damn. I'm like, I got to hang out with this pretty boy. I'm never getting any compliments. I got to hang out with this guy. He's going to make it hard for me. I'm ugly next to this cuter man. That's what I call him. I call him Jack-a man, cuter man. So, yeah, I love my son. It's been a great experience. It's definitely grown me up a lot. But, back to the Yankees and what do they need? They can't trade for another ace, right? We tried to get Corbin Burns. We tried to get Dylan Cease. Corbin Burns goes to the Orioles in division. And out of nowhere, RKO, here come the Padres to take Dylan Cease. I thought the Padres were playing. I thought they were out. I thought they were. Didn't they trade us, Juan Soto? It's just the way it goes. And nobody wants to help the Yankees. I do believe there's a Yankee tax. I do believe that there's 29 other teams and the New York Yankees where, like, Brian Cashman, that's another thing. The eternal Yankees GM, that's another reason why I look at other GMs and the movement and changes in other teams. Like, there's definitely something to the thought that these guys don't look at Brian Cashman like he looks at himself. You know what I'm saying? And, like, maybe some of these guys are tired of dealing with Brian Cashman. Maybe a new guy once upon a time, or not a once upon a time, a new guy sometime down the road will have a better chance at finessing a trade. I just don't think anybody wants to get swindled by Brian Cashman anymore. So the price is always higher. And when you're the Yankees, everybody knows your top prospects. Everybody gets a look at Spencer Jones, and it's like, oh, conversation starts with Spencer Jones. So you can't get anybody, man. And you prospect hug all the time where, like, Peraza's got no value. And we've already said the names of the Clint Fraziers and Miguel Andujars that you could have let go, but you just thought that they were a part of the future and it didn't pan out. So what do they need? In my humble opinion, I said this once we got the Cole news a couple nights ago, go pay Blake Snell. Give him that 3-year deal. Pay the luxury tax. You're going to make a ton of money this year at the stadium. It's already hitting 65, 70 degrees out here. Like, when it's hot, people are going to go to Yankee Stadium just because. And then you have all of us that are diehard fans that listen to the fan, that care about this team, that bleed this. We're going to be there. I was talking the other night about the creatures, and shout out Jeezy who printed out the shirts 2 years ago that said we never left. When they talk about, oh, baseball returns to New York City, the star power, oh, the mecca of baseball is back. It's been a drought for 15 years, but we never left. The Bleacher Creatures from Section 39 to 203, we never left. Like, the fans, the season ticket holders, we never left. We're there waiting, ready for the Bronx Zoo. We're missing October too much in the last few years. And I don't know. I just know that they're going to stick to their guns and stick to their plan and stick to their depth and, you know, their scouting and their pitching report and tell you you have enough. And then when you get into the season and it's not as easy because you think you have a better lineup, but you can never have enough pitching. Hal Steinbrenner just said that. If you can never have enough pitching and you just lost your best pitcher, who's arguably the best pitcher in the league, who you pay $36 million a year, act. Do something. Howie's in Mahopac, New York. What's up, Howie? You're on the Fan.
You out for the shows. I don't know if any diehard Yankee fan lived in the stadium. I worked across the street in the courthouse and was always at the games. I would think one of the greatest jobs a person could have, a ball player could have, and something that they could share with their kids and grandkids, is being the opening day starter, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on 161st Street and River Avenue. Why wouldn't Marcus Stroman take it?
And you're gone. He is. What are you talking about? You're just not informed. Let me say this loud and clear. Let me back up from the mic, drink some water real quick. For everybody listening that wants to continue to pile on Marcus Stroman, like, Howie, you're incorrect. You're talking about, like, you did a good job leading into you going to games, you working at the courthouse, you being up there in the Bronx. And then you said, why wouldn't a player want to take the ball on 161st Street? He is. That's part of the reason why he doesn't want to take the ball when we open up the season at Minute Maid Park in Houston. And also, I heard Susan Waldman tonight and Aaron Boone tonight on your WFAN 101.9 FM clear it up. I know a lot of you don't go on the internet, but they are still trying to clear this story up. It isn't like Marcus Stroman told the New York Yankees, kick rocks. He spoke with Brian Cashman. He spoke with Aaron Boone about it. They all agreed it would be too difficult to shift his schedule at this point of the spring. The guy has been lining up to be the game 3 starter and actually be the opening day starter when we all come together and say, Happy New Year, April 5th, 1:05 p.m. in the Boogie Down Bronx. Let me see. I got to, let's see. Yo no hablo español. Mira. It's ridiculous. And I listen to BT and Sal today, and I love those guys in their show. I start my day most days with it. But I'm like, they just have to do this because it's an easy story, an easy topic to kind of take sides on and kind of pull one way and say this and you know, be fiery about in the moment. But they were wrong, because Marcus Stroman didn't deny it or didn't turn it down or didn't poo-poo it or didn't refuse it. But there's so many people in the fan base that are already against the guy. Nestor Cortez is your opening day starter. I'm in here wearing a Nestor Cortez shirt. Let me fire up this TikTok live so y'all can see me. I hope we don't get calls all through this Saturday on the Fan. Oh, yeah, well, you know that Marcus Stroman, he's already starting off on a bad foot. He's a New York Yankee, and the guy don't want to take the ball. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. The story came out that way, and that was incorrect. The Yankees spoke on it and agreed, and they agreed. The Yankees offered it to him out of respect for who he is and his career. He was an all-star last year. This guy's been in the league a decade. They came to him and said, hey, you want the honor of, you know, starting the season off? That's his story. You'll go down in history as the Yankees opening day starter. He's a creature of habit. He also was hurt last year. He's looking forward to this year. This is his dream as a kid from Long Island to pitch for the Yankees. He doesn't want to mess with it less than 2 weeks out. Understandable. I understand that. And I know, you know, I also understand a lot of you guys, you know, aren't superstitious. But man, every baseball player is. And I mean, when you get into sports, routine matters. Like, I played high school football with the same shirt under my shoulder pads every single game. Literally, a Batman shirt every single game. It's just like little things. I had my cleats taped, my ankles taped the same way every single game, or I didn't feel like I would go out there and perform. This is a guy who has been lining up to take the ball game three in Houston and open up Yankee Stadium on April 5th. That's why I had to bang the phone on you, Howie. Sorry, you were incorrect. You were misinformed. Why wouldn't a guy want to take the ball on 161st Street? He is. He's not going to take the ball in Houston. And who cares? Could lose that game? It doesn't matter. Could win that game? It doesn't matter. It is just the first of 162. And I do believe that the math and all of the 162, yeah, it matters as you get. But the first game definitely doesn't matter. You could lose the first game. I've seen the Yankees lose the first game. It is what it is. So, like, are we claro? There's a little more Espanol. Like, Marcus Stroman did not tell the Yankees, go shove it. Like, you know, Marcus Stroman's not being a bad teammate. He's not being insubordinate. Marcus Stroman's not saying, oh, yeah, I don't, like, no. They all talked about it and agreed that it would be best for Nestor Cortez. And if you just Google Nestor Cortez, you can figure out that Nestor Cortez has a certain amount of rest days that Nestor Cortez is going to line up, and Nestor Cortez said he wanted to do it, and now Nestor Cortez is going to make history being the Yankee State, being the New York Yankees 2024 opener, not in Yankee Stadium, but at Minute Maid Park. And Marcus Stroman, who one of the first things he put out there was, once he realized, hey, if I'm the number three, which he's still the number three, even though the number one has gone down in Gerrit Cole, if I'm the number three, I'll get the ball when we open up Yankee Stadium on April 5th. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Steve in Fairlawn, New Jersey. What's up, Steve? You're on the Fan.
My man, Keith. How you doing? First time, long time, pal.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, listen, all I'm saying is Tyron Smith, I know you're a Cowboy fan. I know it's hard to let him go, but I'm happy right now. But now my question to you is, for the Jets, what do we do now? All we do is offensive linemen. We got Josh Simpson, you know, all that. And, you know, what do we do now? Now, at number 10. Yeah, in the draft. What do we do now? Do we draft a quarterback?
No, hell no. Aaron Rodgers not going for that. Aaron Rodgers said he wants to be here.
Yeah, but you know what? If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, then what's then for the future?
Then it's Tyrod time.
Tyrod time, but he's 38. He's 36 years old.
Yeah, but your future is Aaron Rodgers until Aaron Rodgers retires. He just went on a podcast and says he sees himself playing four more years. What I would do at that position is draft a tackle still. Because you know why? If Tyron Smith gets hurt, you have a young guy learning from him in training camp. You have a young guy sitting in the meeting room, the film room with him that he can coach up, that he can teach. And these guys that are going to be available at 10, there are guys that they're saying in this draft are surefire NFL left tackles.
What about Bo Nix?
What about Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, 45.
Let's talk about
touchdowns. 43 touchdowns, 5 picks. What are we doing there?
Bo Nix. Okay, so Bo Nix in this Nathaniel Hackett offense might be as effective as Zach Wilson. Bo Nix went to Oregon, where their offense was a lot of screens, quick game, check downs, get the ball to your playmakers within like 5-10 yards. He had one of the quickest release times in the NFL. I just don't think that they're going to... No, they're not drafting Bo Nix. At Bo Nix, pro day, there were zero people from the Jets, I believe, at Bo Nix's pro day. I think I saw only Matt Eberflus was the only head coach. Like, people are not checking for Bo Nix.
So do you think the Jets draft another lineman?
I think they do. I think right now Tankathon has them taking Tali East Fuanga from Oregon State. He's 6'6", 340. But they will potentially have their pick of him or Olu Fashanu from Penn State. And I know they also talked to that kid, Amarius Mims from Georgia, who they actually have the Dallas Cowboys taking him at 24 now that the Dallas Cowboys don't have Tyron Smith.
Yeah, true.
Thanks for the call, Steve. 877-337-6666. Let's play it out, right? There's no way in hell you draft a quarterback there. What quarterback you taking at 10? There's a chance now that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy are all off the board. So you'd be taking Michael Penix Jr. at 10 to play for the Jets, a 24, 25-year-old with an injury history who, no. And don't get me wrong, I think Penix is a dog. He's 23, about to be 24 May 8th. I think he's a dog, and he throws a hell of a spiral. And I think in the right situation, he's going to do well. I think they're projecting the Seahawks potentially to take him. But Aaron Rodgers, in the end of his career, all they talked about is how the Packers took Jordan Love, and that upset Aaron Rodgers so much so he went out and won back-to-back MVPs, so much so he turned into this diva, and, he hated it. Obviously, some people say that he was still a good, mentor or whatever, and you can see that Jordan Love was ready to go when it was time for him to go. I wouldn't bet a dollar on the New York Jets taking that number 10 pick and saying, yeah, even if J.J. McCarthy's there, I don't see them taking a quarterback. There's nothing there for them. There are three options in my opinion. A tackle first would be my number one option. A wide receiver second. Like if Rome Odunze, who right now is projected to go 6th to the Giants, if the Giants pick J.J. McCarthy and Rome Odunze falls, You take him right away. Please go look up, as I'm talking about Michael Penix Jr., please go look up Rome Odunze highlights. This is what I'm going to do and watch during the break. I've seen him play a little bit, but I'm really going to watch. His route running is pristine. His hands are great. He went to the combine when a lot of guys, like Marvin Harrison Jr., who's projected to be the number one wide receiver, didn't even show up. He went to the combine and said, I'm going to compete. I'm going to do everything. And he's the type of guy that would come in here and learn and be right next to Garrett Wilson and have Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. You take Rome Odunze right away if you don't take the tackle of your choosing. But the tackle of your choosing makes sense, especially going over this contract that we just did, right? Before we go to break, let's pull it back up. Pro Football Talk told you, everything coming out was saying $20 million for Tyron Smith. No. It's really a $6.5 million guaranteed deal plus another $13.5 million in incentives. And I guarantee you in the end, if he plays 10 games, 15 games, playoffs, if they do win the division, if they do win the AFC, if they do win the Super Bowl, there's escalators that he gets paid up to $20 million. But what a smart play. Let me go back in my notes and see what day it was that Brian Costello put this out. He put out a projected offensive line for the Jets this week. And the only spot missing was a left tackle. And I got on the fan and I said, you could draft, or you could sign Tyron Smith there, but you should draft your own guy. Because if you're also thinking down the road, right, You don't want your eggs in too many of these short-term baskets around Aaron Rodgers. You don't want the cupboard to be bare when he's done, because he's telling you 4 years, but he could be done in a year. He could be done in 2 years. And with the shenanigans that this guy likes his name to be involved in, he has so many other interests. He may go pursue one and leave you hanging. But I'm pretty sure, I can't find it, but I'm pretty sure they had Moses Malone, off the top of my head, Moses Malone at right tackle, Elijah Vera Tucker at right guard, Joe Tippmann at center, John Simpson at left guard, and then they left it open for interpretation. And my interpretation was at left tackle, you could get Tyron Smith, boom, pencil him in, got it. That's a great-looking offensive line on paper if everyone's healthy. Tyron Smith, I'm speaking as a Dallas Cowboys fan. Tyron Smith, it's super frustrating to not have him. He changed the whole complexion of the offensive line when you didn't have him. You had to kick guys out like Tyler Smith, who was drafted to be next to him at guard. You had to force that young man to play left tackle. There were so many reports with the Dallas Cowboys of him not practicing, him not being able to go. This guy had injuries all through his entire body. But man, when he's healthy, he's a house. He's a step slower, a little bit of a step slower with some of these edge rushers that are in this league now that are, you know, coming off the edge, bringing, like, I don't know, like, is he going to block? Well, you won't have to block like Brian Burns now or Sweat now or, I don't know, he's going to be in the AFC East. But you want to have an insurance play that's not going to cost you as much. And that insurance play that's not going to cost you as much is, okay, you need offensive line depth. These guys get hurt every year, right? Learn from your own mistakes. Your offensive line is hurt every year. So make the insurance play in the first round that helps you this year and down the line. You have an all-pro, a guy that's got like 10 all-pros, a guy that's got a world of knowledge and experience playing for the Dallas Cowboys, playing left tackle. Draft your left tackle of the future, because this is only a one-year deal anyway. And this kid can come in here and learn from Tyron Smith. And in the event that Tyron Smith goes down in training camp, goes down in week 3, goes down in week 4, hey, kid, you're up. This is what we drafted you for.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Deep into the night and the early hours of the morning. Keith McPherson on The Fan, your nighttime host, talking sports with New York City, Gotham City. Call me up at 877-337-6666. Yo, what were we even talking about? Just kidding, I know what we're talking about. Let's regroup a little bit. Now live on the TikTok at Keith_McPherson. Mostly we were talking about the Jets and what they should do with that draft pick before we went to break. I honestly think that they back up their acquisition that they made tonight of Tyron Smith, who I've told you is a walking injury. The reason that the Dallas Cowboys aren't bringing him back is because, man, they paid the guy and he was not available. It's the NFL. If he's available, he's pretty good. But he's also getting up there in age, so why not draft a young dog to back him up? to potentially learn from him and carry you into the future beyond this year, especially if Aaron Rodgers is saying he's going to be here for 4 years. 877-337-6666. If you don't get a tackle, maybe you get a wide receiver. Brock Bowers, to me, you have Tyler Conklin, you have Jeremy Ruckert, and you don't have to take a tight end that early in the draft ever. There's no reason. But, yo, speaking of tight ends, I did see former Eagles tight end Jack Stoll reached an agreement on a one-year deal with the Giants. And then I think also I saw, was it Chris Manhertz? Yes, correct. Giants signed veteran Chris Manhertz and two offensive linemen to bolster their depth. So here's my question for the rest of the night. And Paulie asked me this question, and now I'm bringing it to air. Maybe Paul is driving home now, and we'll enjoy the conversation. Through 1 week of NFL free agency, the last 5 days of the frenzy, which Joe is handling business more so here in New York? Joe Shane or Joe Douglas? I think they've both done pretty well, but I'm going to go with Joe Douglas. And maybe you'll disagree with me. Maybe you'll agree with me. Maybe you'll dial 877-337-6666 and tell me your thoughts. But when I look at the Jets team and what they need to do, they have completely revamped their offensive line, and that was a priority. Now, I obviously think that like wide receiver is a priority, but they're working on it, and they kind of need some other dominoes to fall. Like the fact that they put Alan Lazard on the trade block, like that's going to be something to help your wide receiver room. That guy didn't help your wide receiver room. The fact that Corey Davis is going to come back, be reinstated, be cut, and they potentially will re-sign him, that's going to help. The fact that you have Odell Beckham Jr. potentially out there, Mike Williams coming to visit, those guys could get signed. And with Moses Malone coming back, John Simpson, Tyron Smith, your offensive line looks like an NFL offensive line. 877-337-6666. Your other big issue was that you relied on Zach Wilson to be your quarterback number two. You steal the QB2 from the Giants, who is a seasoned veteran with a ton of experience that's got a chip on his shoulder, that does not have to move, can live in his same house and just flip to the other side of the stadium. Tyrod Taylor is a Jet. I think that's a great move. I think that's a great move. Your defensive line is important as well. You bring back Solomon Thomas, Javon Kinlaw. Now, they did lose some pieces like Jordan Whitehead and Bryce Huff and Bryce Hall, but that Jets defense is so dominant, they're still pretty much intact. I can't really look at that as like their defense is falling apart. I think I'm leaning Joe Douglas. Now, on the Giants side, you bring in Drew Lock. I don't know what you think about Drew Lock, but you need someone else in your quarterback room. He said he's here to challenge Daniel Jones. Nah, I think he's really here to try and compete and win that job, because Dan Jones, to me, is not going to be ready for training camp. And if Drew Lock is taking all the reps, he's your guy. Devin Singletary is going to wear Saquon Barkley's number. And honestly, the loss of Saquon Barkley this week, I think the Giants did better right away. But the loss of Saquon Barkley hurts. And then the amount of money you had to pay Brian Burns after not playing last year, like, it's a lot of money. It's yet to be seen. I did see a lot of people giving the Giants a high grade for bringing in Burns, also bringing in John Runyon, this Illuminor cat, and I'm missing one other guy, Isaiah McKenzie at wide receiver. They're going to say goodbye to Isaiah Hodgins. I mean, what a week, man. Both sides of the ball, the Jets and the Giants. Added guys, subtracted guys, and I think that they're looking pretty good. Now, next up is these pro days and the draft. And we'll see what they do with their picks. The draft this year is in Detroit. I think it's in Detroit. I love that they're moving the draft around. Remember when the draft used to just be at Radio City Music Hall? I went in 2006. I think it was like Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, Vince Young, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Remember that draft? That was a long time ago. I went and like stood outside and did that whole thing as a kid. 877-337-6666. Okay, we got a bunch of calls on the Jets and the Giants. Let's keep it rocking. Ron is in Flatbush on the Fan. Go, Ron, go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But the headphones are doing a good job. I want to hear you spit sometime this week, man. I know you spit. So
yeah,
I listen to your show a lot. I wanted to bring up the fact, I listened to you, you made a lot of sense with the linemen. It's logical what you're saying. You have somebody who can sit. But to be honest with you, I'm a Jeff fan. This was the worst scenario for me. And I heard you that you think you're great about Douglas. You know, Douglas' 2020 draft is all gone. Douglas right now to me, this is the last act. And this draft is, he's in a situation which I didn't want to happen, where he's going to have an option. He's going to have a lot of options. He's going to have probably three options and three doors. And if he picks the wrong one, it's going to be devastating. And the fact is, I like the kid from Washington, the wideout, absolutely. And I kind of like Bowers. I know you said, you know, it doesn't make sense that early, but I'm thinking number 20 is supposed to be the star on the number 8. And I think that we can have a serious running game if we picked Bowers or we got the lineman. But that's another thing. I want to be a running team. I don't want Rodgers to throw the ball 50 times.
I think
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted also to say that, you know, it's going to come down to the draft to me. With the GM, and I'm scared because he's gonna have to. I wish it's set up where it was just definite, get the lineman, call it a day. But he's gonna have the option of either going back or taking. It could be a situation where it's the lineman and the wideout. He still may take the lineman. And he has to live with that situation. So we'll see. We'll see. That's all I have to say. But you're doing your thing, bro.
Thanks for the call, Ron. I just feel like, I don't know. That fear that you have, I understand. Because, like, you drafted Mekhi Becton and Zach Wilson. And like you said, I think I read something the other day that the last piece of that draft class is Ashton Davis. It's kind of wild to think about. It's like, you get these opportunities to add to your team, you want to hit on them, but to completely miss on them just a few years later sucks. But I wouldn't fear it too much. I wouldn't fear it too much. And you made a good point about number 20. Man, this team, they have to, a year off of the ACL, like what Breece Hall was able to do, you heard my rant about comeback player of the year, right? I thought it was ridiculous that he wasn't in the top five for comeback player of the year. Like, what? What Breece Hall was able to do coming off the ACL last year, he's only going to be stronger next year. Run the ball. And with this offensive line, run the ball. And if you run the ball, you have Aaron Rodgers, who knows how to manipulate that defense, how to take advantage of that defense, keep that defense on their heels. When Brock Bowers, I don't know. I'm just not sold on Brock Bowers. I'm not sold on these tight ends coming into the league. It's just a different league now. Brock Bowers is a big guy. He's an athlete. But I think you kind of mentioned him in regards to blocking. You have Jeremy Ruckert, you have Tyler Conklin. I think you have two NFL caliber tight ends, and these tight ends are available, man. There's no need to draft one unless you don't have one. A team that absolutely doesn't have one, draft one. I think you draft offensive line here, wide receiver here, and I know that you're going to do one or the other because Aaron Rodgers is here and he's going to want that. He's going to want somebody to either block for him or catch for him. That's it. And if we're talking about pass catchers, not a tight end. Not a tight end. And, oh, David Bakhtiari might still be coming down. So, all right, let's do this now. I pulled up the full list because I even forgot some guys for the Giants. I think I'm leaning Giants now. Now that I say that, I think I might be leaning Giants. Gunnar Olszewski, remember him? Remember how much of a problem it was just to field punts for the Giants? Well, they brought Gunner back, and I think that's a good move. I mentioned John Runyon. I mentioned Jermaine Illuminor. I did not mention Jalen Mills, the safety, who has played for the Patriots, played for the Eagles. If he's still got something, he can make some plays. I did mention Isaiah McKenzie. I did not mention Nick McLeod. I also didn't mention, I said Chris Manhertz and some depth. Well, the depth is Austin Slotman at guard, Aaron Stinney at guard. Your offensive line now is completely different for the Giants, and you have guys in case Evan Neal doesn't work out. You can kind of plug and play guys. But even the two tight ends, I haven't mentioned Darren Waller at all for the Giants fans. Darren Waller, go ahead and retire, bro. You know, Ron said he wants to hear me spit. Depending on what instrumental we come back, I might kick some. But Darren Waller wants to be a rapper. Darren Waller wants to go kick flows. Go ahead, retire then. They just signed Chris Manhertz, Jack Stoll. They already had Cager. They already have Bellinger. You got plenty of tight ends to block. Run that double tight. Run that double tight. Devin Singletary, the motor at running back. Drew Lock at quarterback for reinforcements. And Brian Burns, I think, is just going to be a savage. I think that defensive line is ready. I think I changed my pick. I think now I'm leaning that Joe Shane has done better work this week to shore up that Giants team. When I look at now what Joe Douglas has done, Tyron Smith, okay, I don't know, he's been hurt a lot. Javon Kinlaw, he came out of the draft out of South Carolina, highly touted. It never actually turned into what we thought it would be. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a great move. Solomon Thomas coming back is good. I give you the nod. Thomas Morstead, arguably the best player on your team. You got him back. John Simpson, Leckie Fotu at D-tackle. Greg Zuerlein coming back. That's maybe the second best player on your team. Chuck Clark, Isaiah Oliver at cornerback. And we're missing Moses Malone. 877-337-6666. We're talking Jets and Giants now that the week is through. Who do we think made the best moves? Who do we think shored up their team more? Obviously, nobody can actually know this week. We'll see when it actually happens, when the games and stuff start. Mike's in Caldwell, New Jersey. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Mike?
I think you make some good points about the Jets should still look at the tackle position. Do you think with the short leash as head coach and GM, they might want to get a little bit more...
Like an explosive player, like a wide receiver? It depends. If they're not able to get one of these guys that are still out there, like a Mike Williams, like a Odell Beckham, like a Tyler Boyd, the writing might be on the wall. Like, their hand might be forced that, like, yeah, with the number 10 overall pick, we're going to take the best receiver available, because it really, like, that's a huge need that hasn't been filled yet. The offensive line, got it. Backup quarterback, got it. The other thing is to have another weapon there for Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball to, and you can't be just held up by the fact that you're trying to trade Alan Lazard, and you'll see what happens with Corey Davis. You need a young, explosive playmaker, and if they're not able to get one of these veterans, then, yeah, we'll all know that they're going to take the top receiver on the board at 10.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm curious to see, you know, if they get more, you know, advantageous with their pick, to see if, you know, Joe and Robert are looking on their backside saying, this is our last year to make it. Are we willing to risk our deal on a rookie tackle rather than a, you know, a wide receiver?
Right. Who's going to affect winning more this year? A star wide receiver? And we saw it last year. How many of these young wide receivers come into, like, Puka Nacua broke records as a fifth-round wide receiver. Jordan Addison looked pretty good. He went early. Zay Flowers, he looked pretty good. He went early. I'm blanking on some of these other guys, but you can take a wide receiver in the first round that can immediately come in and make plays. Rashee Rice?
Yeah. He's not even a fourth rounder? That was. Do you have a favorite out of this this slot who can come in and make a difference if you were a GM?
I don't know. It depends, right? I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone by the time they pick. I think Malik Nabers could be gone too. I think Rome Odunze is the guy that you go get if he's there. I don't know. It depends how it shakes out. None of us can call it because we don't know. Now all the talk is that, like, there's going to be four, maybe even five quarterbacks taken. It depends on who's there. It depends on who trade. Like, every year we're thinking it's going to go one way, then it's dun, 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 dun. Somebody's trading up to take a guy.
Yeah, no, I think the Jets are in a peculiar position where we can kind of sit and see how it plays out in front of us, and they get to kind of have an angle here. But I appreciate you, Keith. Love what you do. Keep it going, man.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I'll say about last year, as I'm looking at the draft board from 2023, a receiver didn't come off the board until pick number 20, and then everybody started running after him, right? It went Jaxon Smith and Jigba. I didn't even mention him coming out of Ohio State. I think he's going to have a better year, but he had an impact right away for the Seattle Seahawks. Quentin Johnson better get it together this year, because now Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, they don't have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, or Austin Eckler to catch the ball. And now the mock drafts are all changing, saying that they're going to take the best receiver off the board. And mock drafts have them grabbing Malik Nabers. Zay Flowers, I did mention. Jordan Addison, I did mention. And they went back-to-back. And then even when you get in the later rounds, Jonathan Mingo went in the second round to Carolina. Jaden Reed with Jordan Love and the Packers in the second round. He made an impact. And then Rashee Rice, who I mentioned in a second-round pick. This is going to be the same thing. This year in the draft, like if you watch the combine, man, there's some speedsters, there's some big guys, there's some talent in this draft. And if these wide receivers aren't going in the first round, you could kind of wait on them. You can't wait for tackles. But I understand the logic that Mike just called with about Joe Douglas, Rob Saleh, and your coaching staff feeling like their jobs are on the line. If you just signed Tyron Smith and now it looks like you have a veteran offensive line, using the 10th overall pick to draft an offensive tackle that potentially could be riding the bench doesn't affect winning right away. Sam is out in Queens. Sam, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what's going on?
You know, hosting the show till 2 a.m., talking the talk, trying to figure out what the Jets and Giants are going to do in the draft, I guess.
Gotcha. Listen, man, I love this show. I always listen. I'm just kind of I'm one of those weird Jets and Giants fans, I guess. You know, I kind of...
Both?
You
root for both?
I root for both. I root for the Giants when they're in.
You can.
Leaning more towards the NFC East with the Giants, I guess, right? But I guess both teams kind of put me in a conundrum where I don't know what's going on. I feel like definitely both teams need a quarterback, but both teams are drafting like an entire mess, and I don't know what to think. And I read all the headlines and follow all the stories, but I'm just trying to think. I got to figure one of the two teams at least, or maybe even both, kind of make a move that no one sees coming, or, you know, that, you know, maybe not standard, but I don't know what to think, man. I'm trying to make sense of it all as far as like moving back in the draft or trying to do something with the picks, man. I would like to hear your thoughts on either team.
Here's what I think. I don't think that both teams need a quarterback. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the greatest players we've ever seen play quarterback on the Jets, and one of the best backups in the league on the Jets. They don't need to draft a quarterback at all. They don't have to use one of those picks on a quarterback at all. No, but the Giants, now that you mention a quarterback and you mention something out of nowhere, the Giants have been rumored to be trying to trade up into the top three. If they're able to pull that off, that's the move. If they're not able to pull that off, there's another move where maybe they trade back. Maybe they kick back. Maybe they stockpile a couple picks. They trade back later in the first round or later in the first round and get a second round pick, and they wait to see what quarterback falls. Almost every year, a quarterback falls like a Will Levis. Now, Will Levis, they were talking about him going where Anthony Richardson went. Right, they were like, "Oh, the Colts might take Will Levis 4 overall." No, Anthony Richardson went 4 overall, and then we didn't see Will Levis get taken until the second round, and he was the second pick in the second round. Another name that just popped up that I forgot about: Tank Dell. Like Tank Dell went in the third round, and supposedly him being a product of the University of Houston, going to Houston Texans, you know, he was kind of like, "Hey, come get me." Sometimes that happens too. Jalen Hyatt a third-round pick for your New York Giants. I think that the Giants are going to try their very best to get one of the top three quarterbacks, and if they can't, they will still take J.J. McCarthy. The Jets, though, the Jets are drafting linemen, receivers, and maybe, I think they're drafting linemen and receivers because I just can't get the thought out of my head that it's Aaron Rodgers' show, it's Aaron Rodgers' team, and all of those years that Aaron Rodgers was with the Packers and they're drafting defensive players, and he's like, yo, can I get a bona fide star wide receiver? Can I get a running back? Can I get something? Like, they're going to go offensive line and wide receivers because you need depth. These guys get hurt. Maybe one or two pieces on the defense since you did lose some. Maybe a DB, but, like, you can draft a safety or a nickel corner late. We're talking really top of the draft. We're talking really first-round picks, second-round picks. 877-337-6666. I'm going to take this break here so that we can bring some other things in, and then we can come back. I have an hour left. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're definitely going to get to you. Now the show has shifted from talking about Garrett Cole's injury, Judge being spring beat up, and the Yankees, and the reality that the Yankees have some talent on their roster, yeah. The Yankees have some guys that we think can pitch well, but, man, ultimately, this isn't enough if they're supposed to be all in, hell-bent on winning a championship, trying to bring home 28 this year. They need more. They're not going to spend any more. They're already too far gone. They're going to stick to the plan. This is the team, and we're about to see pretty soon who breaks camp with the team. It is what it is. You're most likely going to see the young pitchers before you see a Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, so that's done. And also, again, Marcus Stroman didn't tell the Yankees anything. They had a conversation about it, and the decision was made for Marcus Stroman to stick with his plan, and his plan is to take the ball game three in Houston and be the opener or be the starter at the home opener, not in Houston, and that's perfectly fine by me. I don't think he's a bad teammate. I don't think he's being selfish. I think he's being cautious. I think he's being smart. Other than that, we talked about Tyron Smith signing and what it means. Rumors about Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Williams visiting the Jets. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy, a lot of buzz around him. Drew Locke spoke and said, oh, no, I'm just here to challenge Daniel Jones, even though the reports from John Snyder talking out there in Seattle was that he left Seattle to go compete and be the starter. I tried to talk to you guys about the Mets and the spring breakout game and how if you're a Mets fan, I know it sucks to have to kick the can down the road, but the fact that they were able to trade for those young guys last year and you were able to watch some of them tonight, I gave my Casamigos big shot of the night to two of those young guys. Like, the Mets have some young talent coming up, and you got to really trust David Stearns and see whatever this year is going to be. We got plenty more to do.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.